Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. A long-running attraction turns 25 tonight on CBS. A Home for the Holidays mixes Christmas tunes with inspiring examples of foster care children transformed by adoption. Executive producer Stu Schreiberg and producer Jennifer Perry join me next in an internet radio exclusive. Public television may be, for some, the last place to find an original made-for-TV holiday flick. That's not so with Christmas Couples Retreat, premiering earlier this month on Maryland Public Television. The full situation next half hour with co-stars Christine Marie and Vincent DePaul. Also ahead, new smart TV features from LG, Lionsgate and Stars in Splitsville, Cheetah TV Roars, our classic trivia question, and our takeaway of the week double play, free sci-fi, and what's up, Paramount? Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presenting the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and more than 40 other great podcast destinations. This just in, it's the Friday before Christmas 2023, and tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour is brought to you today by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating. A very happy New Year start of your Christmas holiday and Kwanzaa holiday weekend, everybody. And welcome to the program all about TV's current and future. We have a wonderful 90-minute show in store for you. Great guests up and down the line. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and dial in. When you do, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. For some reason, our chat room is not operating at the moment. We hope to get up and running before the end of today's program. So use the phone for now. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Our duo from A Home of the Holidays 25, premiering tonight on CBS, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, will join us from Los Angeles after these news notes. LG Smart TV set consumers are getting a number of new features deploying just in time for this Christmas weekend. One is Udemy, that's U-D-E-M-Y, a tele-education venture offering access to a variety of skill-building courses in a variety of subjects and languages. Another tele-education feature is ABC Mouse, an interactive learn-and-play destination for children ages 2 to 8. Other new elements include wellness nutrition service Allo Moves, art gallery project Daily Art Story, and blockchain-powered platform We Mix Play. More news on other soon-to-debut smart TV applications with LG are expected to be tailored at CES 2024 in Las Vegas next month. The campaign to split Lionsgate and pay cable network Stars into separate entities is on. The TV and film producer will go forward with its proposed split by merging its non-Stars business with an already existing SPAC, or Special Purpose Acquisition Company, known as Screaming Eagle Acquisition. The SPAC also will take in Lionsgate's 20,000-title TV and film library and the non-Hasbro assets of Entertainment One, which is scheduled to become Lionsgate-owned early next year. Lionsgate execs expect the SPAC move, valued at $4.6 billion, to be effective next April. There's a new mega-content player unfolding today. It's called Cheetah's TV, and the initial carriers of this service are Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire TV. Independently made movies and scripted TV series will be the centerpiece of this ad-supported service, supplemented by live events with key business and technology leaders, behind-the-scenes segments, and documentaries on subjects for small business, profiles to mental health. Now a trio of quickies. Captains of the World, Netflix's docuseries on the Men's World Cup soccer tournament in Qatar last year, premieres on December 30th. Perennial book series, The Favorites, The Famous Five, is getting a TV series treatment by the BBC in conjunction with other international players. And ABC will allow the CW to run past episodes of The Conners, that's the follow-up to Roseanne, on its primetime schedule starting January 4th. Up first there, the first two season one installments. And that is news notes for today. Over its existence, CBS has presented many a holiday tradition around this time, from a Charlie Brown Christmas to Frosty the Snowman, other man-made highlights. And among their live-action traditions is a program that is marking its 25th anniversary tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, on your local CBS stations. It's called Home for the Holidays, and it's a program that mixes wonderful Christmas music performances with an appeal for people like you to adopt kids in the foster care system. Before I bring our guests on, I want to give you some stats that were supplied in a press release by CBS. You might find some of them very shocking. Try this on. There are currently close to 400,000 children in foster care all over the United States, and about 100,000 of them are hoping for a home to call their own. You might not believe this, but only half of these children graduate or will graduate from high school, 5% will graduate college, and 20% become homeless soon after they age out of the foster care system. And try this on. 50% of the U.S. homeless population was once in foster care in their lives. Well, joining us live from Los Angeles are two of the key people who have made Home for the Holidays happen on CBS. First up, the executive producer for its run from Los Angeles in an internet radio exclusive, Stu Steinberg. Stu, happy holidays. Welcome to our program.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. And joining Sue and myself is one of the producers on the series. She has been involved with this special from the get-go. She is also the head of a very important organization called the Children's Action Network. We welcome from Santa Barbara, California, Jennifer Perry. Jennifer, happy holidays to you.
Thank you, Simon. Happy holidays for you, and thank you for having us on to showcase this wonderful show we've been working on for 25 years.
Sue, how did you get involved with it? What brought you to make this happen?
Well, you know, I think, you know, first I would say at the holidays, you know, we see so much terrible news today that this show, I think maybe more than ever, is really important to realize that there's good in the world, that people can do extraordinary selfless acts. And so that's what drew me, you know, day one. Day one, there was this talk of possibly doing some type of a documentary on the foster care system at CBS, and Jennifer and I and then some other key people turned it into what we're very proud of, which is an annual that delivers both these incredibly compelling human stories with musical performances, so it feels like a holiday event. And I think there's some things in TV that you do because you have to, and some things you produce in TV because you want to, and that's this is in that second category, which is a rare category indeed.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, I understand Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's, the hamburger chain, was a key part in making this special happen. How so?
Dave was very, very committed to raising awareness about youth in foster care and finding them permanent loving homes. So he put his own muscle behind the show, and it's one of the reasons that CBS picked it up. But much credit also goes to CBS for continuing to carry the banner of the show all these many years. I think they saw what a difference it was making, and they continue the commitment to keeping the show on the air. So we're grateful to Dave, and we're very grateful to CBS as well.
And Jennifer, do we know how many foster care children have become adopted as a result of Home for the Holidays?
Literally thousands. And what's so interesting about it is there's so many that we don't know about, because what happens is one of the purposes of the show was to bring these youth out of the shadows. You know, people weren't thinking about these youth and the kind of outcomes you just talked about. So the show, in telling these stories, reaches all these people that weren't thinking about foster care adoption before. And one of our favorite things that we did was in about year 6 or 8, we were able to go back and find these families that had never thought about adopting from foster care, and they watched the show, and it moved them to do that. So we know of thousands, and I think there are thousands more that have been inspired to adopt.
Mm-hmm. Stu, was this an easy sell for CBS to commit to?
Oh, in terms of an easy sell, you mean to advertisers, or an easy sell to an audience, or an easy sell in what way?
First to the network and then to advertisers, yes.
Oh, I think, look, advertisers love multi-generational shows that are pro-social and that are about something and have some integrity and some value. So I think this is exactly the type of show that is welcomed by advertisers, again, maybe now more than ever. So to echo Jennifer's point, I think CBS has been an incredible partner in this, because it's not easy to continually support a show over multiple decades. I mean, this really is the rarity. We're the little engine that could.
Kathryn McPhee is the host and one of the performers tonight on CBS's 20th anniversary presentation of A Home for the Holidays, 8 p.m. East Pacific Time on your local CBS station. We've got executive producer Sue Steinberg and producer Jennifer Perry on the program. They're both joining us from Los Angeles and Santa Barbara, California, respectively. This half hour, internet radio exclusive right here on Tomorrow will be televised. Simon, I'm with you live from the other side of the U.S. of A., New York. It is now 37 degrees near the top of the hour. Let's hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. We have one more week of programs for you. Next week we'll be on three times, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And coming your way on our Tuesday episode, one of our favorite guests will give us his take on the best and the craziness of TV this year and what we expect next year, both in TV and in TV sports. Our good friend Lloyd Carroll, the columnist from the Queen's Chronicle, will join us. That's on Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, day after Christmas, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Stu, when you put these specials together, how do you balance the music performances with finding these stories of successful adoption?
It all, Simon, it all starts with the story. So approximately 2 months before we go into active production, we go into pre-production, and that is working with Jennifer and her team to identify the right stories. And the right stories meaning stories where you have a real dramatic arc. Most of our stories start with pain. They start with loneliness and isolation of kids that are in foster care. And that dramatic arc turns around once they're adopted into these stories become stories of incredible joy, you know, and tremendous amounts of compassion and sacrifice, frankly. So we look for stories that are mini movies, if you will. And we do that about five stories per every year. And then once we have the stories selected, we start working with music artists to figure out what is the right material, because the story comes first, and then it's punctuated by a live performance. And so the stories drive a lot of the artists and the material, so it all feels very coherent, and there's a singular theme.
And Jennifer, how do you find the stories? What kind of research do you do with your fellow producers? Is Children Action Network involved in terms of the organization you head? Are they involved in terms of finding the subjects?
Yes, Children's Action Network is very involved. We've been working in the foster care space for more than 25 years. So we know the people, we know the organizations, and we throw out a wide net and ask people, can you give us these stories that, as Stu mentioned, that, you know, have this arc of taking this child from a state that is lonely and sad and bringing them into a loving family and ultimately realizing the potential of these youth. I mean, that's the nice thing about the show. There's a story beyond the story, which is the transformation of these children in foster care once they have a stable, loving family and are able to thrive. So we go all across the country looking for those stories, and happily, because, you know, people, I think, like a lot of your listeners who stepped up, there's a lot of these stories out there, and our job was to tell them and move more people to do just what others are doing.
Stu, do the artists know before they give the performances what songs relate to the children that are being featured?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, artists can be, you know, all about pushing their latest song. Some of them could be very, very cynical. But I'll tell you, when they enter this show and when they enter the environment of this show, there isn't a performer that isn't moved. You know, we have tissues ready, not just for people in the audience, but for our performers as well. You know, this year, I think Lauren Daigle was overwhelmed by the package that preceded her performances. So yes, very much so. We work with the managers and the agents to figure out what's the most appropriate material that follows, you know, one of the stories. But it's also really interesting, the environment, because if we've done this show for 25 years and created all these families, these are the families that very often fill our audience. So in some ways, this show has created our own audience. And if you could imagine what that environment is like when you have hundreds of people whose lives were literally changed by this show, and that's what the performers feel when they're in there. You know, we try to create a very intimate setting.
By the way, Stu, how close to air date do you tape the special, and do you have the adopted kids and their families in the audience, in the actual audience?
We almost for all of our 20 years we have done just that. We've had the families in the audience. This time, because it's a special year, a 25th anniversary, it's more retrospective. It's more celebratory of 25 years. So what we've done in this particular show tonight is we have looked back and basically did a Where Are They Now on the families that had been brought together through this show and because of this show. And so it's more a celebratory look back. In terms of when we shoot, we tend to shoot in November, so usually a month and a half or 2 months before the airing of the show.
Mm-hmm. And Jennifer, I understand that in this retrospective running tonight, you have a family from Prussia, Pennsylvania. You've got one from Rochester, New York, that was originally featured 5-6 years ago. You've got a family from Birmingham, Alabama, which actually watched, before they made the adoption, they actually watched the special for a number of years. And then you have a family from Shakespeare, Virginia, that was actually part of a segment that you do every year called Children Waiting. How easy was it to come back to these families and to retell or expand their stories?
I mean, it is incredibly moving and inspiring because you see, visibly can see how everybody's lives have been enriched, how these families that might not have been, that are formed now because they watched a show and because they made a commitment to these youth, and how these families have come together and the love and the joy and the paths that they've taken that are entirely different than the path they might have taken before, and they are literally changing children's lives as they do this. And the family that you're mentioning that was one of the families that watched Children Waiting and saw these three youth that were not living together, and they said, we got to do something about this. And, you know, that's a lot of the reason that we do this show, is for people to look into these lives of these kids and go, gosh, if I stepped up, I could be transformative. I could change a child's future.
We've got two of the key people behind the 20th anniversary, A Home for the Holiday special. It's on tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific on your local CBS station. Executive producer Stu Schreiberg and producer Jennifer Perry, also the head of the Children's Action Network. And we'll tell you more about in a moment about what that organization does beyond this special. They're both joining us live from the Los Angeles area this half hour on our first half hour today on our pre-Christmas Eve edition before tomorrow be televised. So I'm with you live from New York. 37 degrees coming toward the bottom of the hour. And let's hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Our second episode of next week, our final week of 2023, we'll have for you, reset from early this week, we've got the executive producer, writer, and showrunner of the new Peacock series, Dr. Death, second season, already off to the races, premiered yesterday to rave reviews and rave audience response. Ashley and Michael Hoban will be with us. Also, we'll have our annual salute to Marvy Televised Remembers. That's our annual tribute to the men and women in front of behind the camera who passed away this year. It's framed on the very popular Turner Classic Movies featurette, TCM Remembers. You can see it on YouTube. You can now see it on Turner Classic Movies. If you haven't, check it out. It's one of their very, very best. That's Marvy Televised Remembers and Ashley and Michael Hoban from Dr. Death. That's coming your way Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Stu, talk about Children Waiting. Has that been a feature of this at the start, and what is that all about?
Well, they've been there right from the very beginning, from the inception, from the concepting of the show, and Children's Action Network, led by Jennifer, is really how we find our stories, right? In some ways, they are the filter. They reach out to communities all across the country, and we're very, very careful to make sure that we cover the entire country every year. And that's where we find our stories, and they're the ones that identify, going back to that dramatic arc, what stories will work for television. So they've been incredibly critical to our success. There's no way as a television producer we could go in the world of adoption without, you know, people that are leaders in those communities.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, talk about your dealing with the musical artists on the program. Talk about Catherine McPhee, talk about David Foster, Gavin DeGraw's involved with this, Cece Winans, you know, one of the top gospel music stars, Pentatonix, the group, is involved. What's it like working with them, especially working with Catherine, who doubles both as performer and host?
I mean, you see the best in the industry when you see these incredible performers that come out and give of their time. And Catherine has done it four times. So her heart is really in this. And she brings such grace and light to the show, as does every single person. You really can't name a big name in musical talent over the last 25 years that hasn't been on the show. And it's so wonderful because they all come to it for the right reason. And I think they all leave really thinking differently about these youth. And we have an incredible talent booker. And working with Stu Poudert, you can hear how passionately he speaks about the show. So, you know, when Stu's calling you to get people on, no one is saying no. And it's telling that the same team, pretty much to a person, has been working on the show for the last 25 years. So it's a nurturing environment. It's an environment, I think, that performers like coming to because, as Stu mentioned, you've got the audience composed of people who've adopted from foster care. So they're literally, the performers are literally looking out at an audience that is doing exactly what they're talking about and why we're all there. And it adds a really special element to the show.
Stu, 2 years ago, we had in this program the producer of the annual PBS Mormon Tabernacle Choir special. They do this whole big production out in Utah. They have major celebrities like your program do performances, do all sorts of things, actors, writers. They've had news personnel. I think Walter Cronkite was one of the guests on one of those episodes. And when I had him on, one of the things he mentioned is that it's a kind of a program where you, like, have this guest, you know, this wonder list of people you would like to have on and, like, all want to be part of it. Is that the same thing with Home of the Holidays? Is there so much demand among the entertainment world to be on this? And if so, how do you pick and choose who you have?
Well, there is absolutely a demand, especially given the fact that we are on CBS and Paramount Plus, so we have a very broad audience. And I think that you just have to work through a combination of factors, right? Because people are on tour, people are in different cities, and for us, we want to treat this as a live event so that we're not doing individual remotes in different cities. We need everyone to build together on a singular day and deliver that kind of passion and energy. So you deal with who's available at the time because so many people are touring. But at 25 years, I mean, we really are a unicorn in the television business. In 25 years, we have had, you know, a great reputation. We do the show for the right reasons, and performers come for the right reasons, and they know that. They know that they're coming into a very special environment.
Jennifer, with 25 years to look back on, any particular musical performances or talents that really, like one or two that really stand out as, like, you know, if someone were to compose a highlight reel, they'd be on it?
Well, from the very beginning, the very first show, we had Stevie Wonder. So we have had legends. We've had Faith Hill. It's too hard for me to single out the incredible people that have – you don't have enough time on the show for me to go through the list from Mariah Carey to Maroon 5 to, you know, you don't have enough time. And Stu will fill in anyone that he feels should be highlighted. But I think what's really nice, most recently with Lauren Daigle, you saw she did the show, and she went on to talk about thinking about adopting. So it's a pretty special thing that we do, that we're lucky to do.
Stu, who's on top of your house?
Simon Tonight. Simon Tonight, there's a couple of moments because we went back into the archives. So when you'll see the show tonight, you'll also see some moments of artists from the past. And this show started, the very first performance of this show started with a group you may have heard of called NSYNC. And I think that was one of their very early TV appearances. So we went from NSYNC to so many extraordinary moments, you know, Jennifer Hudson's Hallelujah, duets with Kelly Clarkson and Josh Groban. Stevie Wonder, as Jennifer mentioned, came into the show while the show was still being taped because we didn't know if he was available, and he just decided to walk in. So we've had those kind of spontaneous moments. But we've cut across every aspect of the music industry, gospel, pop, country. It's gone from, you know, Faith Hill and Tim McGraw to Rod Stewart to the Black Eyed Peas, and everyone has come in, has left their ego at the door, which is a very, very unique thing in TV. You know, they're not trying to one-up anybody. And we've had explosive talent. We've had the Carrie Underwoods and Reba McEntire's and legends like Carole King. I mean, there really has been in 25 years the who's who have given up their time to support the cause.
Jennifer, beyond this special, what does your organization, Children's Action Network, do on a year-end basis?
On a year-end basis, this is what we're doing. We're out there trying to tell the stories of youth in foster care and get the public engaged in creating better outcomes and better futures for those youth. So we're trying to get people to be court-appointed special advocates, to be mentors, to be involved in the youth's lives in some way to help change the trajectory of their futures. So we have a pop-up store that provides essentials to them. We're telling short films of the kids who we featured on the show. We are out there moving the public to action and trying to get more people involved and more resources, because really in the end what we're all about is we want someone to meet a youth in foster care and say, oh, my God, you've been through so much. What can I do to help you realize your potential? So everything we do is directed toward that.
Do you work with other television networks or other CBS projects to get the word out or to explore different aspects of the adoption process and the foster care process?
We do. Some of our shorter films about the youth we do locally and in other places, but we try to be pretty monogamous given how good CBS has been to us and to this issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you both hope people will get out of this 25th anniversary special and moving forward into 2024? Is there any feeling that the tide is turning and that more and more people are looking at adoption, are looking at raising kids out of the foster care system, so that the stats that I mentioned at the top of the segment are not the people that that could otherwise be victims?
So we've already seen what I've seen, what I've been very happy. When we started, I really mean this, foster youth were living in the shadows. And now what you're starting to see is numerous organizations helping these youth, presidential administrations focusing on programs that make a difference for the youth. There has been a sea change in perception and services for youth in foster care and youth who've aged out of foster care. So it's been really inspiring to see a really marked difference in public engagement and personal engagement with these youth. And I would like to see that continue and grow. And I think that this show has been a big part of that, because we know that we've been dropping a pebble into a pond, and the ripples keep growing and growing and growing, because someone sees the show and they tell someone else, and suddenly someone is thinking, hey, you know, maybe around the holidays I should get a present for a youth in foster care, or maybe I should think about being a mentor, or maybe I should get engaged, because if I do get engaged, these youth will have a better future.
Stu?
Simon, I think to add on to Jennifer, I think this show has always been about potential. You know, what can these kids achieve if given the right environment? And it is so unbelievable when you actually listen to their stories. It is so satisfying to see just the transformation. You know, I think just to give you an example on a very, level of, like, you probably have 100 crew people working on this show every year. And in that group, I would say there has been 20 adoptions in those 100 people. So just to give you a sense of how personal, how people have been touched on such a personal level. But to me, it's really about the potential of these kids if nurtured the right way. And the results are extraordinary.
Yeah, you see it in these stories.
The
look back here was really fun.
For the holidays. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. You see it in the 25 years. You can see it in this show. The look back really tells you where these youth are now. So everyone should tune in to see see concretely the real difference that this can make and that the show has made. And thank you, Simon, again, for giving us this opportunity.
Jennifer, you and Stu are very, very welcome. And let's remember again, Home for the Holidays premieres tonight Open the Holidays 25 on your local CBS station, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. You can also catch the program live or later on Paramount Plus, available on smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. In some areas, you can also catch the program on Paramount Plus with Showtime, available on cable, also on smart TV products. For more details about the program online, go to CBS.com. And if you want to know more about the Children's Action Network and what they do on a year-round basis, go to ChildrensActionNetwork.org. That's ChildrensActionNetwork.org. You may be very glad you did. Stu, Jennifer, to you, to entire production crew, and most importantly, to all the families who are transforming kids' lives through what they are doing through adoption, thank you for 25 years of putting this special on. Thank you for all the lives you've impacted along the way, and hopefully many, many more in the years ahead, starting tonight.
Simon, thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time, and happy holidays.
It is our pleasure. Stu, yes. Jennifer, take care. Merry Christmas, a super new year, and many, many more years ahead.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Take care. Stu Schreiberg, Jennifer Penny, joining us live from the Los Angeles area here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Back to our program after this word from Liquid IV. Here's a new wellness routine, if you don't know about it, that's easy to take and keeps you in hydrated shape. It's Liquid IV, and it's a great-tasting drink mix in stick form that, when you add with water, delivers hydration to your body faster and more efficiently than water alone. What's more, you get five essential vitamins, B3, 5, 6, 12, and great vitamin C. Plus, you get 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. There's 12 flavors to drink. There's all delicious and refreshing. Talking about Concord grape, passion fruit, and watermelon. Plus, there's brand new sugar-free flavors like green grape and peach. If you don't know, Liquid IV is gluten, dairy, and soy-free. All you have to do to test it out and try it out, go to liquidiv.com. It's liquidiv.com to order, and you get 20% off using the promo code TELEVISED at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop for better hydration today. Just use the promo code TELEVISED at liquidiv.com. That's liquidiv.com. Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures with real hydrating. Coming up in our next half hour, a made-for-TV movie that landed in a very unusual place, Maryland Public Television. We will speak with two of the co-stars of Christmas Couples Reunion, Christine Marie and Vincent DePaul, both live from Maryland, after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. You'll listen to Best Internet Radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching more than 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love Christmas scary radio, check out the Christmas special of Eerie House, one of our most popular shows on Blog Talk Radio. It's old-time radio tonight with a Christmas theme. That's Eerie House, the Christmas special today, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, Best VTR coming your way 24/7 on YouTube. Welcome back to our next half hour, this 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Be Televised on this day before Christmas Eve. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. A Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, et cetera, to all of you celebrating those holidays and more this weekend. Coming your way, we're live from New York, 37 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Two more great guests coming away this half hour ahead, plus our classic trivia question as well. And we invite you to get involved by making a phone call. The number you use, 646-652-2906. The 646-652-2906. Our chat room is not working at the moment. We'll try to get it up and running, hopefully, before the end of the program. Now, if you think about, by the way, I forgot to let you know that this half hour of our program is brought to you by online grocery Sun and Swell. It offers a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. Now, if you think of Christmas movies, what are the television networks or services that you think of as really bringing you great, original, made-for-TV holiday movies? Well, you might think Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. You might think Lifetime. You might think ION. You might think Up TV, which incidentally we have featured earlier this fall in this program with a holiday movie. You might think now of Roku, Netflix, Hulu, Prime Video, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe the last place you would think of to have a made-for-TV movie, public television. Well, public television, specifically Maryland Public Television, hooked on Wall Street for so many years. Well, 2 weeks ago, they did show a Christmas movie, and it's a very unique one called Christmas Couples Retreat. And here to talk about that movie are two of the co-stars joining us live from Maryland, Christine Marie, Vincent DePaul. Christine, Vincent, happy holidays to you. Thanks for being here.
Happy holidays to you, son.
We're so happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you both here. Christine, we'll start with you. I understand that in addition to this being a unique made-for-TV movie for Maryland Public Television and public TV overall, this is also your acting debut.
That is correct. It was such a pleasant surprise. Vincent actually called me last year and said, "Christine, are you still in the Maryland area?" I said, "Yes," and he said, "I need a wife." And so this movie happened to be my debut, the most wonderful experience.
So, Vincent, that's a wonderful segue for you. How did you find out about this project, and pick up what Christine had to say from there?
Yes, certainly. So for me, I produced many holiday films, Beverly Hills Christmas 1, Beverly Hills Christmas 2 with Academy Award winner Margaret O'Brien, This Is Our Christmas, All I Want for Christmas, A New Lease on Christmas, Defending Santa, and a lot of the networks that you mentioned, UpTV, ION, all of these family-friendly channels were wonderful, but I wanted to produce a film locally because I'm a native Marylander. So a lot of my films, of course, are shot in Los Angeles or in other states, but I wanted to celebrate Baltimore, and I wanted to celebrate relationships, and that's why I created the IP, Christmas Couples Retreat. What happens if couples go on a retreat and, you know, to better understand the relationships, for their wives to be better wives to their husbands and for their husbands to be better husbands to their wives? What would happen? What would go on? And so that's how Christmas Couples Retreat was born.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of getting this movie written and produced and put together, before we get into how you got Christine involved, was there sort of an incident, whether for you or for the director Salvatore Zanino or the other producers, that sort of triggered, let's do a movie about that features relationships or ways to get couples together to deal with their what's missing in their relationships?
Certainly. So to clarify, my full name is Salvatore Vincent DePaul Zanino. So I am the director, and I'm also the talent. So for me, I love producing movies, and I love acting in movies that really are changing, you know, the narrative, understanding about relationships, understanding about blended families. And this movie was about blended families. Kristen Marie plays Hannah Rutledge. And when I first met her in Washington, D.C., I thought to myself, wow, this is such a wonderful, dynamic, intelligent, articulate young lady. I feel that she would be perfect in one of these films, and not really realizing or being cognizant that that is something that she always wanted to do was a holiday film. And so to answer your question is that a lot of the movies that I create, they're based on different life experiences or different observations that I've made. So the original title of this movie was called Three Wives Men. And so it was about, you know, three husbands going to a boot camp to be better husbands to their wives. So that's why it was called Three Wise Men. But then we changed it, and we added the character, Dr. Fiona Gerard, who was like the date doctor. And I was inspired by the movie Hitch, the Will Smith film Hitch, to kind of add that element to the movie.
Christine, what was your background before you decided to try out the acting bug?
So I actually, in grade school, I actually took the stage and was pretty familiar with the theatrical side of acting. Upon graduation from high school, I continued on and really pursued commercial work. But it was always something just kind of fun, a little secret hobby that I never really shared much about. It was just something that, frankly, brought me so much joy. And so there was a sense, frankly, of vulnerability surrounding just this deep love that I had for being on the screen. And in simultaneous to that, I pursued business. I actually have a branding and marketing firm, and I'm also a partner at our family business. So business has been such a big focus for me over the last decade. But really, this opportunity with Vincent brought my commercial experience, my theatrical experience, and this just trumped all of it. It really has been a childhood of mine to be in a Christmas Hallmark type movie, and this was 100% the fulfillment of that. And Simon, it was just such an incredible experience. The more that I actually felt like I was starting to be brave in expressing how much I would love to be a part of this film. And so when I met Vincent, this movie wasn't even being discussed. But I just happened to, when I heard his background with holiday films, I felt brave and I said, oh my goodness, that's always been a dream of mine. I would love to be in one. And so his invitation and his welcoming me into this project was really a fulfillment of something I had always wished and hoped for. So I would love to continue on in this as well as, you know, carrying on my business and family business. But the acting side, there's just something so special about it to me. And I think that that's just something innately in me that I just really, really love and brings me so much joy.
We're talking about Christmas Couples Retreat. It's a very unique holiday film that made a very unique premiere on December 17th on Maryland Public Television. That's the main public television station in the Baltimore area. There are also the folks that did a thing way back when called Wall Street Week with Louis Rukai that lasted a very long time on National Public Television. We've got two of the co-stars of the film, Christine Marie and Vincent DePaul, who's also the executive producer, one of the director as well. They both join us live from various areas of Maryland this half hour right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon, I'm with you live from New York, 37 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Let's hear from you. Make a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Don't forget, we have three more episodes of Tomorrow Be Televised coming your way to wrap up 2023 next week. Next Tuesday, that's the day after Christmas Day, Wednesday, and Friday, all at this very hour, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Coming your way on Tuesday, we'll have the popular columnist from the Queen's Chronicle, Lloyd Carroll, with his very neat take on how TV fares this year, particularly sports TV, and what the outlook is for 2024. Then coming your way on Wednesday, we'll have Ashley Michael Haban. She is the executive producer, writer, and showrunner of the second season that premiered last week of Dr. Death. Excuse me, it premiered yesterday, Dr. Death. Great reviews and also great viewer response as well. So she'll be with us next Wednesday. Also, we'll have our annual tribute to Tomorrow Be Televised Remembers, featuring the people in front and behind the TV camera who passed away this year. It's all coming your way next Tuesday and Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Vincent, once you decided we're going to do this movie, how soon did you get Maryland? Did you make the movie first, or did you get the deal with Maryland Public Television to run it and then make the movie?
Certainly, and so I just wanted to kind of clarify something with you, and thank you so much. So this is not necessarily made for TV movie. So this was shot 4K. So basically, it will have projections, you know, in different countries. It'll be licensed around the world theatrically, and then domestically. After I finished the film, I was, you know, speaking to my distributors. I'm like, you know, why not have Maryland Public Television have its one-time only premiere in Maryland, where the film was actually shot at the beautiful Gramercy Mansion on Greenspring Valley Road at the Village of Cross Keys. I collaborated with my longtime co-producer, cinematographer, and director, Christian Filippella, who is outstanding. I mean, he's a graduate of AFI, you know, Darren Aronofsky, and he, of course, both went to AFI, American Film Institute, and he created such a cinematic film. But to compliment Kristen a little bit is that her playing my wife, she did it so effortlessly. And for me, a lot of making a movie is the casting of the movie. What we always want is naturalism. And what we want is to live in the moment. And what she gave in this character was so pure and so true. I was so pleased that she decided to take on this role. And it was very layered. As I said, people will watch it, Christmas Couples Retreat, and they will see in the trailer that she was dealing with a lot of different struggles, being the second wife and all these different things, having to be a mom to a stepchild, all these things that are real-life situations I wanted to explore in this movie. So originally, it was not just for linear television. It was going to be theatrically, internationally, but we allowed it to be on Maryland Public Television for its first run. Now, next year, I believe Amazon Prime would like to pick it up. I know that they're playing the trailer. It's not available, but we will have it, and then you'll be able to get it on SVOD and AVOD and TVOD. But we're doing that entire round around the world theatrically, and then domestically, you know, of course, the platforms, you'll be able to have it. Christmas Couples Retreat.
Is there a sense, though, that you have a special accomplishment here that you were able to get it on Maryland Public Television? And why bring this up?
They were so
kind. Because one of the
ongoing
criticisms of public television both locally and more important nationally, is that when it comes to scripted programming, whether it's dramas or movies, it's usually from overseas, from England, usually from England as part of Masterpiece or what used to be Masterpiece Theater.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen a scripted U.S. produced series since Mercy Street, which was like, you know, 7-8 years ago. And it's been very, very, for whatever the reason, it's been very difficult to get a scripted effort on public television, apart from the occasional drama special on Great Performances. Or here in the New York area, with Channel 13, part of All Arts, which has done a drama series, but it's been theatrical drama and it's been an anthology kind of show. So mm-hmm. it makes that what you've done is really incredible because, like I said, some people would think that the last place you would see a movie like this would be public television.
Well, it was just so appropriate, and I'll explain how, the journey of how it got to be on Maryland Public Television. So the film was completed, and then we had conversations with Maryland Public Television. So I was at the Jim Henson exhibition in Maryland, and the Maryland Public Television folks were doing a special on Jim Henson, you know, of the Muppets. And so Jim Henson's first show was for public television. He created these Muppets, and, you know, of course he did, you know, all these wonderful shows with David Bowie and so forth later on. And so we talked, and I said, you know, I have this holiday film that was actually shot in Maryland. They said, really? And I said, yeah, it's Christmas Couples Retreat shot on location in Baltimore, Maryland. And I wanted to show a different version of Maryland, not the one that you see in Homicide, Life on the Streets, not the one that you see in The Wire, not the one that you see on The Block, all these different shows that show a side of Baltimore, Maryland, which is very unique and very gritty and very textured. But I wanted to show this other side, this beautiful side of Maryland. And so in conversations, Maryland Public Television said, you know, after seeing this film, this is perfect for our audience. This really is what PBS Public Broadcast, Maryland Public Television is all about. And so it aligned with what they wanted. So I hope that answers your question. It's always about having your program aligned to what their vision is on what their viewership would enjoy.
Yeah. Christine, what was your role in this movie, and what was the challenge in playing it?
Vincent, thank you so much for your kind
It's true.
It was just such a privilege working with you. So my role was playing the wife of Vincent. It was, as he alluded to, it was definitely a dynamic role given the complexity of the character and the struggles that her and her family were experiencing. I played the role of the stepwife, and or the wife, the stepmother rather, and it was just it was actually a very unique experience to be able to kind of unpack the layers of this role. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of the Enneagram, but that's a personality kind of like a experience that people will go through just to help unpack different types of people and the way that we experience the world and our motivations and our pain points, and just really using that as a tool. I've used that in my business to help understand the people that we're marketing to, but I was able to use that with the characters in this show, and it really helped me understand kind of where everyone was coming from, because if we don't understand the vantage point and we don't have the empathy to be able to sit in the other person's shoes and experience, it's really hard for us to be able to then connect with them. And so my use of this personality tool was really beneficial in me understanding not only Hannah and her experience as a character, but also Danny, who was Vincent, and then our son, and other characters and couples in this show. And so it was just such a wonderful experience to actually put that into practice myself in a very personal way, whereas, you know, in the business side, I usually look at it from a third-party perspective. What do these people look and feel and think, and what are their concerns? What are their motivations? How can we relate to them with empathy? But being able to do that for this role that I was taking on and then be able to portray it, it really was a great experience. I learned so much and even, frankly, furthered my own understanding of different experiences that I've had that would then be able to help me relate even better to the character. And Vincent, who played my husband, Danny, he just did an exquisite job. I mean, I was actually able to watch the film with my family last weekend when it aired on Maryland Public Television. And to your point, Simon, of just how impressive it was that Vincent got the movie on Maryland Public Television speaks to just Vincent's charm and being able to connect with people on that level. He just really brought the film together, brought everyone together in terms of he just had this really big vision for where everybody, it's kind of like a puzzle. You're putting each person in these unique roles, and he just had the foresight and wherewithal to be able to perfectly blend every couple, every single shot, every single dynamic. I mean, he literally would be standing behind the camera and then come and sit across from me. It was very exciting watching him play this dynamic duo in and of his own self. And so, frankly, at some point, I'd even love to kind of do that and play executive producer at some point. Who knows? Maybe give me a decade and maybe I'll be right there.
Maybe sooner. Christmas couples retreat too.
So that was, I guess, in summary, being able to kind of use personality tools to be able to then digest and understand my own character, much less the characters of others, so that the connection that happened on screen was very representative, indicative of those connections and relationships that were off screen as well.
Christine Marie and Vincent DePaul are with us as co-stars this half hour in the Marvel Televised. The project they were involved with is Christmas Couples Retreat, which premiered 2 weeks ago on Maryland Public Television. Looks like it may go on Prime Video sometime in 2024. And they're both with us live from Maryland this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Hoffman will be live from New York. If you have a question or remaining minutes with them, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Coming up at the top of the hour, classic trivia question. Last time we're offering this question over the last 2 weeks, so get your thinking caps on. Six prizes in play for you if you come up first with the correct answer by email. Vincent, where did you shoot the film?
So it was shot on location, as I said, in Baltimore, Maryland. It was shot at the Gramercy Mansion, which is a beautiful chalet located on Greenspring Valley Road, and then also the Village of Cross Keys. The Village of Cross Keys has a unique history. This was the homestead, the home of Oprah Winfrey when she was on Channel 13 WJZ-TV for 15 years, and also the home of Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife when she also was on television. So everyone lived in the Village of Cross Keys, which is this planned community by the Rouse Corporation. And so it was just a really special place to shoot in and around there. So that was our location. And just if I could just go a little bit off topic, I wanted to talk about the rest of the cast that made this great ensemble. We had Vanessa Meadows, who played Dr. Fiona Gerard. We had the wonderful actor Brandon Tyler Russell, who played my son, who was on Grey's Anatomy. We had Leah Vallone, who played Brittany Snowfield, the owner of the chalet, the Gramercy Snowfield Chalet, who was her first film as well, and she was dynamic. We had, Jimmy Clavitz. We had, Christine, help me out here. We had Dana May.
Dana May. And then it was one thing that was really beautiful was just how well, again, Vincent just paired everyone so beautifully together. It's always you, when you watch a film, you wonder about the relationships off screen, if they're as lovely as they are portrayed on screen. And every single human being in those rooms were as beautiful off screen as they were on screen. It was really a pleasure.
We had Karina Michelle and Tony DiVergilio, Sherrod Taylor played opposite Dana May. We had Susan Priver, who played my mom. We had Marla Wapner, who played the mayor of Roland Park. Oh, my gosh. We had really, really great large cast. And special thanks to Kimberly Skirum, who was the casting director of House of Cards that was also shot locally in Maryland for Netflix, who served – she assisted in casting with Amy Lim, but she also served as producer and production designer Felicia Zanino Baker. So all of these kind of individuals were the ones who had shepherded this film to the way it is presented to the world today. And so it takes, as everyone says, a small village to put a film together. And for you, thank you so much for caring about, you know, these these independent films. That's so important that, you know, that people realize, because the independent films are really at the heart of what we do in filmmaking generally.
Yeah. Well, Vincent, to sort of wrap it up on this, the mayor of Baltimore was here in New York 2 weeks ago to accept Black Enterprise Magazine's 40 Under 40 Award, and I had a chance to meet him on the red carpet, and I asked him about the possibility of originating more television series in Baltimore. And he mentioned that apparently there's going to be some announcements very soon by some producers who want to set up shop in Baltimore to do television series.
Yes.
I'm wondering if the mayor has talked to you about the possibility of making another movie or making a TV series
right.
in that city.
Well, I work with Jack Gerbis and Catherine Bodovic of the Maryland Film Office or Film Commissioner Office. And so I know that Jay Duplass of the Duplass Brothers, his one brother was on the morning show. He just wrapped a film, actually another holiday film. Ours was the first ever holiday film ever shot in Baltimore, Maryland. Now, in regard to series, I know that the mayor is in talks with some production companies to shoot another series here. Of course, they did, you know, Homicide, Life on the Streets, The Wire, The Block. All of these were shot, Madam Secretary, before they moved out of Maryland with Julie Marie Dreyfus. I'm sorry, Veep. I apologize. Veep was shot in Maryland with Julie Marie Dreyfus. Then it left. And then some of Madam Secretary was shot there and also in Manhattan. So, yes, I mean, it makes for a great location because it's so close to Washington, D.C. So you have the Capitol, and you have that beautiful skyline, and then you have Maryland and the beautiful skyline of Maryland. So you can double them, and you can move your crew back and forth between the two. But it'll be interesting to hear the mayor's announcement on what series is coming to Maryland next.
Yeah. And, Christine, before you go, the movie ran on Maryland Public Television. Have you gotten any feelers from what your next acting gig might be?
Not as of yet. I know that Vincent and I have been talking about the sequel to this film.
Yes.
So hopefully that will be in the works soon. I was in Hollywood this summer and was speaking with a few different casting directors and scriptwriters. So we'll see. Nothing as of yet.
Yeah.
Once again, the name of the film is Christmas Couples Retreat. It was carried on Maryland Public Television. As you just heard, there may be a sequel next year. You never know. If you want more, and we understand now that it may run next year on Amazon Prime Video, which is available on smart TV sets, smart device, multi-channel bundles. We will let you know if that happens. In the meantime, if you want more details about the project, go to www.christmascouplesretreat.com. That's www.christmascouplesretreat, all one phrase, .com. Christine Marie, Vincent DePaul, thank you both very much for coming on. Congratulations on this wonderful accomplishment to get a made-for-TV movie, our original movie, on public television. Congrats to Maryland Public
thank
Television
you.
For running it. Maybe, who knows, maybe other public TV stations might do something like this down the road. And if so, they've had their eyes opened by what you both have done.
That
and
is
congratulating
wonderful.
To both of you
yes.
a wonderful holiday season to the two of you and a great new year ahead.
A wonderful holiday season to you and to yours, and this has been so delightful. If they also want to follow us on Instagram, it's Christmas Couples Retreat, and of course, as you said, ChristmasCouplesRetreat.com is the website. And there's an email address if they have any questions. We'd love to hear from you, fans, comments, anything, and you can click on and send us an email at ChristmasCouplesRetreat.com.
Thank you, Simon. We so appreciate your time. Merry Christmas.
You're very welcome, Christine and Vincent. Same here. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the year and a great new year ahead.
Happy New Year. Ciao. Bye.
Christine Marie and Vincent DePaul joining us live from Maryland this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Time for trivia question ahead. First, some words from Sun and Swell, the online grocery that offers a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. And in case you don't know, Sun and Swell is the first online grocery store with a fine line of healthy and great-tasting foods, and they all come to you in plastic-free, compostable packaging. You know, every item is 100% vegan, gluten-free, free of added preservatives or ingredients, like rolled oats, trail mix, apple pie bars, energy bites, banana chip, nuts, mango, and so much more. And they've gotten already over 1,000 five-star ratings. So if you're looking for a more planet-friendly pantry, all you got to do is shop Sun and Swell, and you get 20% off site-wide when you go to sunandswellfoods.com and use the promo code TELEVISED at checkout. That's 20% off your entire order when you use the promo code TELEVISED, TELEVISED, at sunandswellfoods.com. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. This is the last week they're offering this particular question. So get your thinking caps on. And if you're first with the correct answer, we have six wonderful prizes for you. We've got the free Uber card from AMC Networks, the free Redbox Movie Night card from Crackle Connect, two wonderful musical CDs, Chicago's Greatest Hits with songs like If You Leave Me Now and Saturday in the Park, another rainy day in New York City. Hopefully not. We understand it will not be a rainy Christmas, by the way, in a few days. And the Lifetime Women in Rock, a wonderful CD with great tunes by Annie Lennox and the Eurythmics and Linda Ronstadt, Pat Benatar, and many, many more. And two wonderful books from Jeff Melvoin, the former writer and showrunner of CBS's hit Northern Exposure. It's Running the Show, TV from the Inside. And from USC professor David Craig, who was with us on this program a couple weeks ago, it's his book, Apocalypse Television, How the Day After Helped End the Cold War. All back at the yours, if you know the answer to this question. What was Ryan O'Neill's first or last television series as star or co-star? It was not Peyton Place, by the way, that was his first. What was Ryan O'Neill's first or last TV series as star or co-star? What was Ryan O'Neill's first or last television series as star or co-star? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name, where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you win. If you are a previous guest or a winner on this program in our classic trivia segment, you are not eligible. Once again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and your mailing address, so if you win, we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and X or Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. Straight ahead, not one, but our special double play of our regular feature, the takeaway of the week. Number one, free sci-fi from NBCU. And number two, what's up, Paramount? We'll get to all that after we pause, after the top of the hour, for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and Tune.com, together reaching over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out a very special Christmas Day edition of Successful Women's Radio. It's Prepare for 2024. That's the Successful Women's Radio Prepare for 2024 special this Monday, Christmas Day, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, live and exclusive here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, Best BTR is always available 24/7 at YouTube.com. And check out BTR schedule throughout this holiday weekend. A lot of great Christmas Kwanzaa shows just for you. Welcome back to our final half hour of Tamabi Televised, and welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 37 degrees at the top of the hour, and we still want to hear from you. I'd love to hear your thoughts about what you heard over the past hour if you've been tuning in since 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, or if you have some thoughts about our Friday Takeaway of the Week double play coming up shortly. All you got to do is give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio. For some reason, our chat is not working. We apologize for that. Hopefully, by our next episode, Tuesday afternoon, first of three we're doing on this final week of 2023, we'll get that all set up. So now it's time. Oh, by the way, I want to let you know that this final half hour of our program today is brought to you by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. And now it's time for our regular Friday feature, the takeaway of the week, where we highlight a development that happens during this week that you will take away from, we hope, because it could impact how you watch and use television in the future. And because it is Christmas week, pre-Christmas week 2023, that is, we thought it might be nice to do a double play to give you two, that's right, two takeaways of the week for the time of one. And to be honest, we are going to give you the takeaway of the week that originally we were going to give you last Friday, and we couldn't do it because of Blog Talk Radio's technical issues. We were not on the air. So let's do that one first, and then we'll do the one for this week, What's Up Paramount? Our takeaway last week, free sci-fi from NBC Universal. I'm sure many of you know about sci-fi. It's the science fiction television network that's been around since the 1990s. It was originally founded by the husband and wife duo of Mitchell and Lori Rubenstein. And when they originally looked at putting this together back in the late 1980s, they wanted to be the definitive source of great scripted and unscripted science fiction, fantasy, horror-related genre television. And for most of its more than 30-year run, it has been, with great shows like the Peabody-winning Battlestar Galactica and great scripted shows like the revival of The Outer Limits. When it was off Showtime, it came on Sci-Fi. Stargate SG-1 and the Stargate spinoffs, Atlantis and Universe. Sanctuary, featuring one of the stars of Stargate SG-1, Amanda Tapping, who I believe we had on this program way back when. And also shows like Killjoys, Dark Matters, The Nation, Eureka, Helix. We had the creator of that show on this program. And Taken, the great miniseries, the first scripted project for Steven Spielberg in television, won the Emmy Award and ACE Awards and other awards. It was the first really great science fiction miniseries of its kind. Another series was Tin Man. Remember all the made-for-TV movies they did? Speaking of made-for-TV movies in our last half hour. And they had the Sharknado films, which did very well. High camp, high fun. Well, what's sci-fi been lately, the last few years? Simply put, a shell, a skeleton of its former self. You turn on sci-fi in prime time, what do you see? Harry Potter movies, reruns of feature films like The Day After Tomorrow, 2010, Independence Day, the Independence Day sequel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You rarely see original scripted or unscripted programming. And when you do, it's like once in a blue moon. For example, last fall, we had Reginald the Vampire. We had Harley Payton, the creator of that show, the Emmy-nominated writer of Twin Peaks, was on this program. Loved having him on. Incidentally, that show has not run since last fall. We understand the second season is in the works and hopefully will run next year. And then there's The Ark, which for some people is like the redone, better version of The Star Lost, that very interesting science fiction series in syndication that 20th Century Fox did back in the early 70s. Keir DeLay was in the lead from 2001, had a sensational premise created by the late, great Harlan Ellison, and because of all sorts of problems, it was canceled after 17 episodes. And The Ark is sort of now from Dean Devlin of Independence Day fame and Leverage and other shows. That is also, we understand, going to be back for a second season. It was premiered earlier this year. There was Chucky, which was also simulcast with USA. Don Mancini, the creator of Child's Play and the Chucky films and the series, was with us last year. The show had its third season this year and really, really good. And there's also Surreal Estate, which nobody's heard about. It's the real estate-themed science fiction scripted series. And Resident Alien, a series that was supposed to have a third season on this year and didn't. And that's pretty much it. When it comes to originals, that's it. Sci-fi has become a shell. It is no longer the place to watch science fiction on television. The viewership has become minuscule. And it doesn't look like going to 2024, things are going to get better. Think about this. When NBC Universal had their upfront preview back in May at Radio Music Hall with thousands of people attending, NBC was mentioned, Peacock was mentioned, Bravo was mentioned, USA was mentioned. Where was sci-fi? Zero. Not one moment word about it. So it leads you to believe that maybe, just maybe, it's time for sci-fi to be freed from the chains of NBC Universal and being allowed to prosper with different hands running the ship. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who could do it. And it's time, because it's time for sci-fi to get its glory back, to get its mojo back, and become once again the place for cutting-edge, great, well-produced, well-put-together science fiction, scripted series, unscripted series, made-for-TV movies, specials, live coverage of events like Comic-Con, et cetera, et cetera. And it looks like the only way that is going to happen is if it breaks from the tentacles of its current parent owner, NBC Universal, and flies on its own with somebody else footing the bill. What do you think? Should sci-fi break free from NBCU? Let me know. Give me a call if you can today. Call me, Simon at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. If you're hearing this on podcast, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Or you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and X or Twitter. Facebook, LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum. X or Twitter at UBC Simon, PWBT. Now our second takeaway of the week. What's up, Paramount? Have you noticed that there has been a lot of discussion this week about the future of Paramount Global, the future of CBS, the future of Paramount Plus, the future of all the different channels that Paramount has, from Paramount Network to Nickelodeon to Comedy Central to BET to VH1, MTV? Why are we having this? Well, there's several factors. There's several developments that have been reported on by the entertainment news press throughout this week. One, Shari Redstone, who is one of the key people investing in Paramount because of her late father, Sumner Redstone's parent company, National Amusements. Apparently, they're talking with David Ellison, the head of Skydance, the TV and motion picture producer, about perhaps taking over majority ownership of Paramount Global. And then there is a meeting that really grabbed a lot of people's attention back on Wednesday and yesterday about Bob Bakish, the head of Paramount Global, having lunch with David Zaslav, the head of Warner Bros. Discovery. And instantly the rumor mills were flying, well, a meeting of the minds, who knows, it may lead to a merger. And then there was the rumors on the talk that for the second time in a year, that BET might be put up for sale, and that people like Byron Allen and Tyler Perry and others who were bidding initially some time back to get BET, and by BET I mean not just the Mothership Network, but BET Her, BET Plus, their mega content Netflix-like service, BET Jazz and other genre channels, VH1 and BET Studios, which has some major African-American entertainers like Kenya Barris, and produced by Kenya Barris, other creative talent involved. So reportedly, Byron Allen and Tyler Perry both bid about $2 billion to get it and couldn't get it because Paramount pulled back their interest in getting it sold. Now, according to new reports in the likes of Variety, The Hollywood Reporter, The Wrap, Deadline Hollywood Daily, BET and the networks under its stable is back for sale. And that Byron Allen has already offered $3 or $3.5 billion to get it. And Scott Mills, the current head of BET, is working with an investor group and bidding $2 billion for BET. Who knows where that's going to go? And there's also talk that because Paramount wants to finally spin off BET to somebody else's hands, that they might do it with Nickelodeon, or they might do it with Comedy Central, or they might do it with Paramount Network, or they might spin off Paramount Plus someplace, especially if Warner Brothers Discovery and Paramount Global merge. So what do you make of all this? Well, first of all, everything here is very preliminary, except the BET situation, because there was an effort, there was a race to get it before. But everything else about merger and having a different owner of Paramount, it's still very preliminary from what we understand. And trust me, if Warner Bros. Discovery does make an announcement that they will merge with Paramount Global, it's not anywhere near a done deal. Why? Because we have a presidential administration that's not too keen on media or media-oriented mergers and acquisitions, either at the Federal Trade Commission or the Federal Communications Commission. Remember how long it took for Activision Blizzard to merge with Microsoft and all the hoops and hurdles they had to get through to make it happen? Tough, tough deal. It finally did. Incidentally, Bobby Kubrick, the head of and the creator of Activision Blizzard, announced that he will retire from that company at the end of this year, which is less than 10 days away. So there's a lot of this situation to sort out. And don't be so sure that something is going to happen in terms of both companies merging, unless there is a sense, and if there is, by the way, a sense that this is going to merge, these two are going to merge, keep in mind there's going to have to be some divestiture along the way, either on the part of Paramount Global with some of their networks, maybe even CBS, and or Warner Bros. Discovery in terms of their stable of cable networks, and Max, their mega content service, and where that all goes. So what's up, Paramount? I think Paramount should say something off the bat first to see what how they respond to the speculation. They haven't responded yet, I hope it does lead to something good for the viewers. Whatever happens, I hope it leads to something good for the viewers. If, in fact, BET does get spun off this time and there's no pullback, whoever gets it really puts the money in to make it and take it to the next level. Because BET has made progress in recent years under Scott Mills' leadership, taking over for Deborah Lee. And it would be nice to see a Byron Allen or a Tyler Perry, who's been involved with BET for the last couple of years, since leaving Oprah Winfrey Network, to really take this service and its variety of networks to the next level. Certainly VH1, now under BET, it's time for that network to shape up, because it hasn't in recent years. And it's time for BET Plus to really rev it up and create the kind of content that will really get it noticed. And BET Studios to finally, now that the writers and the actor strikes are over, to really rev up and really do great stuff to the fullest. So what I can say about What's Up Paramount is stick around, stay tuned, keep your ears to the ground, and really, really listen to what gets said between now and down the road. And again, I'd like to hear from you what you think about both of these situations, Sci-Fi and Paramount. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, or in our remaining minutes, give us a call, 646-652-2906, that's 646-652-2906. In a moment, our second straight explanation about why we didn't have one of our episodes this week, just like last Friday. Get to that after this message from Wild. Are you out to make your personal well-being more natural and eco-friendly at the same time? Well, give Wild a try. You know, Wild deodorant, which I now use regularly, it's great. It has natural ingredients that freshen you anytime for any occasion. What's more, Wild comes in a variety of scent and color combinations such as jasmine and mandarin blossom or fresh cotton sea salt. It's great to put on. It's not hard to do so. You also get it in a wonderful case that you put the refills in when you need them. And there's no harsh chemicals to fret about. If you want a refill, like I said, it gets delivered right to your door in this wonderful case that you can use over and over and over again. So here's my thinking. Go Wild today with a special discount, 25% off your first order. All you got to do is use the promo code SimonApple04 at checkout. That's SimonApple04 at checkout. Go to wearewild.com and use that promo code SimonApple04 at checkout. Wild, it is the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. So go out there, get yourself some Wild, and enjoy. Well, for the second time in a week, we have to do a mea culpa about why one of our episodes did not run. I mentioned on Monday about the episode that was supposed to happen a week ago today and why it didn't run. Basically, Blog Talk Radio had a technical breakdown, and we learned about it just before we went on the air. We thought, because of a previous incident, that we would get on. We thought we did, and as it turned out, all but 5 minutes was off the air. So we ultimately had to delete that episode. Well, on Wednesday, for the second time in a week, Blog Talk Radio had a technical breakdown. This time, however, they did give us a heads up, a good heads up. I mentioned at the end of Monday's show, when what could Blog Talk Radio do to work with not just myself but other producers and hosts? Simple. Send us an email that has this particular message or something like it. Blog Talk Radio is experiencing a technical breakdown. Our engineers and technical crew are working hard to resolve the issue as soon as possible. We can't guarantee that your show will be on the air by the time we resolve the issue. We want you to keep that. We advise you to keep that in mind as you plot out what you're going to do. And we thank you for your patronage. Well, they did that. They did it by email. They did it in plenty of time. The email went out, got it around 12:45, 1 o'clock Eastern time, about two and a half hours we went on the air. And we were able, when we learned that, no, the technical breakdown was not going to be resolved in time. We were able to contact all our guests, and which was Ashley Michael Hoban, the executive producer of the second season of Peacock's Dr. Death, which premiered yesterday to great reviews, I think a 96% Rotten Tomatoes score among the critics. And we don't know about the viewers because they're still coming in. And our good friend that we haven't had in a very long time, Shelley Palmer, the popular TV and TV technology commentator. We were able to get them in time. We told them we could not go on. We'll reset them. And that's why I'm happy to tell you that next Wednesday, Ashley Michael Hoban will be on. And I'm happy to tell you that Shelley Palmer, will be with us probably the first week of 2024. We were able to do that because Blog Talk Radio took the coaching I gave them, which was give us an email so that we can deal with it. Once you find out when the breakdown is happening, email us. Don't wait until we have to discover it on our Blog Talk Radio computer screen when we sign in to do our show. Let us know by email or send us a voicemail message or send us a text message on a smartphone or mobile phone. They did that. I want to congratulate BTR for doing that. And I'm happy to tell you that the situation was resolved yesterday afternoon. Took a little more than expected. They did, however, resolve it. And let's hope that we have no more of these breakdowns for a very long time to come. Again, I want to thank all of you out there for your patience. I want to thank our guests and the public relations people that we deal with for being very understanding of both what happened last Friday, what did not happen with the show this past Wednesday, and hopefully that's it. And we can go forward to what I hope will be a great rest of this year and a superb 2024 with this program. Again, I want to thank all of our guests for being here today and all of you for tuning in. We want to let you know again, we will have 3 episodes next week. Our final triple header of the year. It's going to be next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Coming your way on Tuesday, our very good friend, columnist of the Queen's Chronicle, Lloyd Carroll, will join us with his thoughts about how TV 2023 went, including sports television, and also where he thinks TV 2024 will go. Then on Wednesday, we'll have Ashley Michael Hoban, Dr. Death's executive producer, writer, and showrunner. Her series premiered its second season yesterday on Peacock to great rave reviews. Also on Wednesday, given it's the next last episode of the year, we will have our annual tradition, Tomorrow Be Televised Remembers, adapted from the popular TCM featurette, where we pay tribute to the women and men in front and behind the camera who passed away this year. And we don't know yet who's going to be with us on our Friday episode. We'll keep you posted throughout the weekend and during the week ahead. And by the way, we will have, for the first week of 2024, again, for the next time around, we will have triple header shows. We'll have them the following Tuesday, day after New Year's Day, Wednesday, and Friday. Also, you can catch me next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, in vivo on Sports News Wire, the popular daily news information hour on Sports Grid Network. I talk about TV sports. This past Wednesday, I had a feature about how the top 5 TV sports developments of the year evolved. This time around, we will have the top 5 TV sports developments to look out for in 2024. The Sports News Wire with Craig and the crew on Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets, devices, Amazon Freevee, and other multi-channel bundles, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, next Wednesday morning. Be sure to tune in. I'd love to hear from you about that. If you came in late on today's episode, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage anytime during the weekend. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised, blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check out our wonderful website from On Podium, tomorrowbetelevised.com, and the more than 40 wonderful podcast platforms to take our show, whether it's the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Acast, Odyssey, Fathom, Luminary, Zencaster, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And incidentally, if there is a podcast site you like that doesn't take our program, let me know. Be nice to them. Let them know. Let me know who to talk to, and we're happy to talk to them and have a new podcast affiliate before you know it. As always, we appreciate your listening. We appreciate you being involved with us. We're sorry about the chat room not functioning today. We hopefully will get it back up and running by our next episode Tuesday afternoon. And in the meantime, remember, I'd love to hear from you about what you thought about our guest today and what your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going to go in 2024. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's also the email you use to get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. Final time, here's our question. What was Ryan O'Neill's first or last television series as star or co-star? You can find the answer on Wikipedia. You also find the answer to the first show on YouTube because they have episodes of that program there. So use that email, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Also use it for our regular feature, A Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention? We'll give it the attention, and we have to hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If we use your suggestion for a show no on the air, you get the credit. Remember, However you communicate with me, email or find me on Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. We appreciate it, and we respond to what you have to say within 24 hours. And that's because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Cho is BTR's General Manager. Jay Sonnenberg is Head of Content. Website certified by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitars Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. By online grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious snacks and tasty faves anytime. And by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. On behalf of everyone at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, our website, Vermont Podium, and our great lineup of more than 40 podcast affiliates, we thank you for your listening, not just today, but all year long. We wish all of you the greatest Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever holidays you're celebrating this weekend and for the rest of 2023. Please make it a great and safe one. If you're leaving to go, check where you have to travel and check your local airline or train carrier to find out how they are doing, to make sure that you stay ahead of the weather issues and that you get to where you're going with you and your family and your loved ones, okay? And if you can't be with them, love the ones you're with, as the famous song says, and give your parents or friends a call. They really would love to hear from you, and they really would appreciate it. Again, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. We'll be back on Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our web and podcast destinations. Whatever you are doing between now and Tuesday during this Christmas, Kwanzaa, et cetera, weekend, make it the safest you can be. Make it the greatest you can be. Have a lot of joy and peace and love. We all need it now more than ever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.